Nicole.
Good morning to everyone. How are you today? How's your week been? Okay, great, excellent. It's lovely to see you, Arnette. So lovely to see you, especially with a smile on your face. It's wonderful to see you. Pardon me. Good morning, Sonia. I heard earlier that you are here joining us from Florida. Good morning to you. Welcome. Welcome. Pardon me. I am eating again this morning. Today I have a smoothie, raspberry and banana. It's really good. I hope you all have a great Sabbath. I hope that the Lord will make his presence known today with us. And I hope you feel his presence. I have one announcement, and it's just to promote next week. Can we remember what next week is? Look, everyone's jumping at me. Wow.
Praise and Thanksgiving.
Yay! Praise and Thanksgiving. God has been so, so good. And we kind of just want to spend some time telling how good he has been to each other, because the testimony can help others and it can lift up others, especially when you go through things sometimes you feel like you're the only one going through it. You know, it must be me alone. So our testimonies can help each other, and we can support each other and uplift each other. Just talk about how good God has been, especially in this time. So next week, come prepared to share your testimonies, share the songs that have helped you through this difficult times. And if you have a testimony that you are prepared to share, just let Donna know so we can be ready to say, you know, go ahead with your testimony. So please let Donna know if you have a testimony. But let us come next week ready to share the goodness of God. So thank you, and let's go ahead with the program, and we start with Sister Pat. Thank you so much.
Good morning, Stilkey family and friends. It is so nice that we can meet together in this fashion and just praise and worship God. I don't know what sort of a week you've had, but it doesn't matter. We are here today, and we're going to worship, we're going to praise, we're going to be spiritually uplifted, and we're going to give God the glory. Do you know, when I was growing up, when I was a teenager, my mom gave me a book to read, and the title of the book was Sabbath, Dilemma or Delight. I don't know why she gave me that, but maybe I was a little bit rebellious. But, you know, on this seventh day of the week, God knew our needs. He knew that we would need to stop, to rest, to reflect, to energize. And so on this delightful Sabbath, I pray that we are all just enriched with the blessings of God and also with our love for each other. Welcome one, welcome all, and Pastor Lawrence, it's lovely to see you and everyone else. Have a blessed Sabbath. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Father and God, we just thank you for, we thank you for freedom in spite of whatever the authorities are trying to do. We thank you that we can still worship you in freedom. Even though we are distant from each other, we're not distant from you. And so we thank you for the freedom to call on your name, to be grateful, to be thankful, and to sing praises to you. Mm-hmm. In a special way, dear Lord, on this Sabbath day, help us to reflect, help us to draw closer to you. Help us to reconnect. And help that our lives may be meaningful, dear Lord. Sometimes it gets to be a little bit of a rut and we do things out of habit, but help us that our worship may be meaningful and that we may grow daily in love and service for you. I want to put before you, dear Lord, those who are ill. We thank you that Sister Arnette can worship with us today. Amen. We thank you for what you're doing in her life. Mm-hmm. And I pray that you will continue to touch her body. All of us have got aches and pains wherever, but dear Lord, we leave our lives in your care. We thank you for Carice. We thank you for everything that you are doing for her. And I pray that you will continue to touch her body. And may she also be able to think about you and your love for her. Mm-hmm. We thank you for allowing Pastor Lawrence to be with us today. Mm-hmm. And I pray that as we listen to the message that you have given him, that we may listen attentively and that we may go away with something that will keep us connected and keep us serving you. And so, Father, we give you praise, we give you thanks on this sunny Sabbath day that we are alive and we've got breath. So keep us until you return, mm-hmm. I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Greetings, everyone. As Pastor Blake would say, welcome, family. The scripture reading this morning is in two parts. It's taken from Luke chapter 11, 11 to 13, and Luke chapter 10, 30 to 34. Luke chapter 11, 11 to 13, and Luke 10, 30 to 34. I'll begin. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, would he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, would he give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, knowing how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Luke 10, 30 to 34. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Here ended the reading. May the Lord bless it. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Correa. Our song of meditation today, I know it's advertised as No One Else, but we will be listening to Each One Reach One, as it will be pointed to the message.
Well, my Bible tells me that we're either a missionary or a mission project, because we're to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, lift up the name of Jesus, that he might draw all men unto himself. Today a man is somewhere proclaiming
the good news, winning families to Jesus all around his neighborhood. He tells them that God is able to make their house a home. He wants to win his world for Christ, but he can't do it alone. But each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can lead one to the Savior. Jesus is the way. If we each one reach one, now the message is unchanging. Go into all the world and share your love for Jesus. Far away and door to door. You see, just like somebody told you that Jesus loves you so, you must tell someone who will tell someone.
My Bible tells me that we're either a missionary or a mission project, because we're to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, lift up the name of Jesus, that he might draw all men unto himself. Today a man is somewhere.
Let it roll. Just leave it. Let it roll.
Winning families to Jesus all around his neighborhood. He tells them that God is able to make their house a home. He wants to win his world for Christ, but he can't do it alone. But each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can lead one to Tells me that we're either a missionary or a mission project.
Okay, Pastor, please go and continue.
Thank you. Happy Sabbath to everybody. Can you all hear me? If you just hear me, just wave your hand. Just wave your hand. We are amen. Hallelujah. I'm so delighted to be here to move this morning.
Amen. Happy Sabbath.
Amen. I bring you greetings from my wife, Barbara. She's somewhere in the house in Nathaniel. We happy to be here. We are delighted to be here. I want to thank you for allowing me to be here this morning. You from in the next few minutes, you will not see my face. You'll be seeing. I'm going to be sharing my screen with you. But I just want to say I love you all. And special greetings to all of the senior members of Stokey. And we've lost a few over the last few months, but we still give God praise. I don't want to call a name because I don't want to leave anybody out. But I just want to say to Sister Henderson, I still need my avocado. We want me avocado, you know. But love and blessings to all of you. This song reminds me of Pastor Steve McKenzie and Jennifer many, many years ago, Wembley Park, 1919, I believe. We had a evangelistic meeting there and we preached the Holy Ghost and many souls are baptized. Steve will remember this very well. I look forward to sharing with Steve again at one of these days and preaching the gospel message to the world once again. May God bless us. As we pray, Father in heaven, I pray that you speak to us this morning and allow your spirit to do his work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you see the screen? Yes. Nicole, can you just talk to me, please? And then you can stop talking. Can you see the screen?
Yeah, we can see it.
Okay. What else can you see? Can you see my face? I don't want you to see my face, just the screen.
No, we can't.
Can see your face.
Pardon?
I can see your face.
No, I want you to not show my face.
Unless they have up a screen, they're mainly going to focus on the screen. Don't worry.
Well, definitely. Your face is only tiny in the corner. Everybody's. I can see Kathy.
Hello. Whoops. What's happening? Okay.
It's fine, Pastor. It's fine. Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Bread or stones, hindrances to crossing the road. I want you to follow me closely this morning. People in pain are looking for someone who cares. We live in a time when love is growing cold. So we find betrayal, broken commitments, children left unprotected, racial injustice. We live in a world full of people in pain, wounded by scar, by family fragmentation, wounded and scarred by a
Pastor, can you unmute yourself, please? Sorry.
Do I need to start over?
No.
Materialism, yes, addiction, and abuse. So I want you to reflect about your friends, your relatives, church members, work associates, or anybody within your circle of friendship or family circles, or others that you may suspect are in some form of pain this morning. Perhaps hurting over a loss or rejection. Perhaps discouraged by a failure. Or afraid of the future. Just think about somebody this morning. Bread or stone. The text says in Luke 11 to 13, which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? There's a need for bread. What is this need for bread? It is the need for security of stable homes. Whether you're single or married, the need for the security of stable homes. It's a need for warmth of caring affection, esteem of honored commitment. There's a need for bread. Instead of some receiving bread, some receive stones. Breakdown of families and relationships. Abuse at the hands of abusers. Devaluation of betrayal. We are living in a day in which people have needed bread, but instead have received stones. While the stones break down the families and relationships, abandonment, abuse at the hands of the abuser, devaluation of betrayal. I think that we need to redefine care during and beyond COVID-19. Here's what the Bible says in Luke 10:25-29. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor. Hearing Jesus confirm the primary significance of God's, of loving God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and loving the neighbor as yourself, the Jewish leader asks, and who is my neighbor? Let me suggest to you this morning that religion is irrelevant when it accentuates pain. Or religion that is irrelevant will accentuate pain. So if your religion is not relevant, what it does, it exposes and promotes pain. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho where he fell in the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him. I want you to notice the contrasted responses to a person in pain. The priest. The priest saw the man and passed by on the other side. The Levite saw the man, pass by on the other side. The Samaritan saw the man, took pity on him, and went to him. I want you to notice the contrasted responses. The priest saw the man, passed by on the other side. The Levite saw the man, passed by on the other side. The Samaritan saw the man. What did he do? He took pity on him. And what did he do? Not only did he take pity on him, he crossed over the road and went to him. What are some of the hindrances to crossing the road? What would it take Stoke Newington Church to cross the road? What are the things that would prevent us or could prevent you, us, to crossing the road? A sense of inadequacy? The cost of caring, a lack of motivation. Which one of these three is a barrier, is a hindrance, is a hurdle that will prevent your church, your community, your faith community from crossing the road? Do you feel inadequate? Do you feel that you don't have the financial resources to provide caring? Or you just don't feel motivated? As you think about people you know who are or have been in pain, anybody who's in pain, whatever you want to define pain is, what might have hindered you at times from crossing the road? to care for them in some way. A sense of inadequacy, the cost of caring, lack of motivation, or is it something else? I want you to reflect on this. You think about people who you know who are hurting in some kind of pain. What are some of the things that will hinder you and hinder me from crossing the road to care for somebody in some way? The challenge I want to show you, that every one of you sitting down under the sound of my voice, you are capable of touching the aloneness. That word, capable of touching the aloneness of people in pain as you become a person of care. You are capable. The difference you can make is that you can reach out to the aloneness. People feel isolated, all by themselves. Some are confused. Some are depressed. Some have nobody to talk to. I want to say to you this morning that you have enough God inside of you, enough faith inside of you. You are capable of touching the aloneness of people in pain as you become a person of care, a person committed to knowing people, a person committed to taking initiative, a person committed to being appropriately vulnerable. If you are prepared to do any of these three, then you are capable of touching the aloneness of people in pain as you become a person of care. What is the call? The call is for anyone who has a heart for helping hurting people. I wanted to show you that even amongst your membership, there are people who are crying out, hurting for whatever reason. The call is for anyone who has a heart. Do you have a heart for helping hurting people? The call is for anyone who wants to launch a caregiving ministry to better meet the needs and develop this congregation to be a true caring community. The call for Bible study leaders who want to be sensitive, Bible study leaders who want to be sensitive to the needs and hurts of people they teach and to respond to them well. Want to be sensitive to what you say to them and to their needs, regardless of who they are. The call is for people in your faith community who are helpers or counselors in the helping professions, who want to be caring for people from a God-centered approach. Will he respond to that call? Here's what I think God wants to do. God has far more in store for your life than just to do something for him. He has far more for your life than just for you to do something for him. What does he want? God is crying out. God is crying out. He's crying out and calling. He wants you to experience an intimate love relationship with him that is real and personal. That's what he wants. He wants you to take off the masks. He wants you to take off the masks that we wear. And he calls for an intimate love relationship with him. And our love relationship should be real and personal. He's not so much interested in you doing. He wants you to do, but to be able to do, to be able to cross the road, to be able to cross the road and do effectively the caring ministry, he calls and he wants to have an intimate, you get the word? Intimate love relationship with him that is real and personal. What makes it intimate? It's a relationship where he can see inside of you, where he can see deep inside of you. He can see deep inside of you. He can see your pain. He can see your trauma. He can see your anxiety. Not only can he see it, but he can feel it. He can feel your anxiousness. He can feel the turmoil that you've come through. He can feel your fear of the future. He calls to have an experience with him, of a relationship with him that is real. It's not fake. It's real. It's real. It's genuine. And it's personal. When you have entered into a relationship, intimate love relationship with him, that is real and personal, you will cross the road.
Louder every time you connect to
him. You will cross the road because you have the heart of God. What is the need this morning? God is calling out for people of care. Do you really care for people? People of care. People who will cross the road with the heart of God. God is looking for people of grace. Grace who will show, people of grace will show compassion and sympathy to those who are hurting. People of compassion. God is looking for a community that will care, a community of grace, a community of compassion, a community of people who are living letters of his love. God, the motivation for giving care to others is because you are inspired by God's care for us and for you. You are moved by gratitude for his grace, for where he brought you from. Moved by gratitude. You show gratitude for where he brought you from, for where he's taken you from. You've been touched by his suffering on the cross. And you've experienced his glory. I want to close this morning by reading a story to you. The story of Sandy. Sandy was in a psychiatry hospital, having attempted to take her own life, contemplating suicide. She was suicidal. A year earlier, she had lost her husband suddenly and tragically, killed in a car accident by a drunk driver, leaving her to raise three small children alone. She had worked through much of the depression that year, as well as the pain and anger at God and the driver. But some of her deepest pain had come as she reconnected back into her church. As people would ask her, "Sandy, how are you doing?" She would have often said, "I'm sad," or "I'm feeling depressed." But in recent months, she had replied, "I'm just feeling lonely." The tragedy of this story is that the most common response you would hear from well-intended people was this: "Sandy, don't you know you have God? Don't you know you have God?" Sandy walked away from every one of those encounters, hurting more than before. Those irrelevant responses had contributed to her pain and finally her degenerating outlook. She left that congregation, never returned. She lived in her pain for the rest of her life because her community, her church community, her brothers and sisters were insensitive to her pain. God is calling you. He says, "I know that you have your own pain. I know you're going through your own dry spell. But if you can reach out to somebody this morning who is experiencing some form of mental challenge and needs mental help, emotional pain, then you would have saved a soul." Will this church today rise up and be a helping hand in God's hand? Would you today say, "I'm going to be a helping hand in God's hand"? Perhaps to your children. Listen more to your children. Listen more to your children rather than talking or criticizing. Will you be more willing in the hands of God to say, "Lord, I'm going to listen to the pain of a friend. I'm going to empathize with my children, with my friend, my work colleague. Will you be in the hands of God today as he uses you to listen and be of help to somebody who needs to be heard? Will you? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I recognize that there are various hindrances that prevent us from caring from those within the ranks of our Christian fellowship. I recognize that I have contributed, I may have contributed to the pain of a sister, of a brother that may have caused them to leave your fellowship. I lift up my hands this morning and I confess and I repent of my sins. But yet still, Lord, I can still hear the crying of your children, crying out for help, crying out like that poor man who was beaten and left by the road to suffer and die. I can almost see him crying out, help! Help! And many times, like that priest, I have walked away. Many times, like that Levite, Lord, I have ignored the cries of those who are desperately crying out, perhaps emotional pain, psychological pain, or some form of pain that may have disturbed their relationship with you. I have been like that priest, like that Levite. And today, Lord, I confess and repent of my sins. Say, Lord, make me like that Samaritan. Give me the heart of God so that I can cross the road over. And instead of giving stones to people, I, by your grace, will be so empowered. I, by your grace, will be so grateful. I, because of your suffering, I will be so humbled enough to give bread to somebody who needs it this morning. So here I am, here we are. Help, Lord, that we will not be like those brothers and sisters in the life of Sandy, who were insensitive to her pain, insensitive to her situation. But give us, Lord, the heart of God that we will have ears, that we will listen and empathize with the pain of those next to us. That we, like Jesus, will show compassion. That we, like Jesus, will hear and reach out to those who are hurting. Father, help, Lord, that we will not make money an issue. Help, Lord, that we will not fight over finance and crime, have this money and no money. Help us, Lord, that we will see people rather than see money. So we give ourselves to you this morning. There may be some here, Lord, who may be going through some emotional turmoil. Father, you said that you are able to help us carry the burdens of life. We can lay it down at the foot of the cross. So here we are, bruised like that man by the roadside, wounded like that man by the roadside, emotionally scarred like that man by the roadside, perhaps physically scarred by that man by the roadside, confused perhaps, not sure about the future, not knowing where to turn, perhaps maybe some form of illness has caused some kind of a pain in our emotions. We bring it to the cross. We pray that you would exchange our pain with the peace that only comes from you. We thank you and we praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor. A reminder that God wants to have a personal, real, and intimate relationship with us, where we have the heart of God for caring and for passing that on to others, a compassionate feeling towards people in our community and in our lives and others we don't know. Our closing hymn for today is hymn number 371, Lift Him Up. So it will be done a little bit different today. So I will play the music with the lyrics, the instrumental, you will see it. So you can sing along at home. You will be muted because there will be a delay. But you can sing along at home, and we have the lyrics and the music to guide you through. Pastor, could you close us out in prayer, please?
Let us pray. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his Father with explicit joy, may his power, dominion, and authority now rest with us until Jesus comes. Amen.
Thank you so much.